When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Hey, this is Christina Quinn. I'm the host of Try This, the Washington Post's new series of audio courses. The idea behind Try This is to become better functioning humans without having to comb the internet for countless hours. In our first course, we learned how to sleep better. Now, we're going to learn how to make our friendships stronger. I'll offer expert tips that are doable, and I'll keep it short. So let's do this. Class is in session. Find Try This from the Washington Post wherever you listen.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feelin' Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
With the new Dexcom G7, you can achieve better diabetes results without painful finger sticks. It sends your glucose numbers to your compatible phone or watch, so you can always see where you are and where you're heading. See how food and exercise affects your glucose, making it easier to spend more time in range and lower your A1C. Take control of your diabetes with the number one recommended CGM brand. It's easy to get started today at Dexcom.com. That's Dexcom.com.
Dexcom data on file 2023. If your glucose alerts and readings from the G7 do not match symptoms or expectations, use a blood glucose meter to make diabetes treatment decisions. For a list of compatible devices, visit Dexcom.com/compatibility.
It is First Strike, First Look right here on VSiN on a Tuesday. I'm your host, Dave Ross, joined by our producer extraordinaire, Britton Hess, back in the program. Britton here on a Tuesday before we get to Friday's First Strike for everybody on VSiN, wherever you get your podcasts, of course. But Britton, before we look ahead to what should be a very intriguing main event on this card coming up on Saturday, let's take a look back at the two title bouts that we just saw on Saturday night. Look, I think the fans maybe wanted a little bit more after Israel Adesanya gave you one of the most iconic walkouts that we've ever seen in UFC history when he went full Undertaker and Paul Bearer on us. But really a pedestrian-like performance for Izzy, at least for the fans' sake, where he gets a five-round unanimous decision over Jared Cannonier to remain the middleweight champion of the world. And I look at it and I get it, and I think you get it, Britton, but maybe some new to the sport don't get it, that was actually a virtuesque performance by Izzy there, where he didn't have to take any chances and really kept Jared Cannonier in the end of his punches and could kind of do what he wanted to do in there. What was your takeaway from the main event?
Yeah, you know, it was kind of exactly what we talked about all week last week with just, I don't know how Cannonier can get close enough to do damage. Izzy moves too well. Izzy has too much range. Izzy is too smart, too technical. You know, and it is kind of sad that there wasn't a big finish or a big, you know, a photo opportunity with a guy getting, you know, blood sprayed across the cage. But
right
at the same time, when you're a guy on Israel's level who's cleared out the entire division, like you're not proving anything to anyone. You don't need to take risks. You can just do what it takes to win. You know, if somebody leaves their chin out, sure, take advantage of it. But Cannonier also knew what he was getting into. And it felt like Cannonier knew from the beginning he didn't have much of a shot in this one. He just didn't want to, you know, embarrass himself.
Yeah, and he did not. And it was a technical fight. And look, I was on thinking that if Cannonier is going to get the win, it's going to have to come from KO. That clearly did not happen, as he could not get inside to make this a physical fight. And he had some opportunities up against the cage and kind of pushed Izzy back a couple of times. But you saw Izzy's eyes. If you really watched the infighting there, he knew what Cannonier was trying to do every time. He's just felt one step ahead. I think you could say the same thing about the co-main event with Alexander Volkanovski against Max Holloway. You know, if you liked Max by decision, which I was leaning to a 3-1, well, that was over after the first round. You could tell right away that Volk was an even better Alexander Volkanovski. And it was interesting because last week on First Strike, when we had John Anacon and Cub Swanson and Stephen Wonderboy Thompson, you know, they were alluding to the fact that he's gotten better. Volkanovski's getting better as arguably the best 145 pounder in the history of the division. I know Jose Aldo stands might say something about that. Maybe even Conor McGregor in his heyday at 145. But what'd you make of the performance by Volk the third time around?
I knowing how good Volk is and has been, to for him to improve that much is like nothing I've ever seen. Because it's like he's already at, you know, on top of the mountain. It's like, how do you go higher when you're on top of the mountain? It's like he's like, you know, building a helicopter or getting a hot air balloon or something, getting higher still despite all odds. But yeah, no, it looked like, I mean, Max Holloway looked like a pedestrian at best fighter, which we know he's not. So that just speaks to Volkanovski, because it was not close at all. Volk was never scared. Volk had the power advantage. He had the speed advantage. You know, he didn't have the reach advantage, but he can't grow his arms in the gym. But everything else he's doing in the gym seems like it's working. So, I was super impressed with Alexander Volkanovski. And I don't know if you caught the moment with him talking to Cejudo after the fight. They might be trying to set something up, which I can't. I mean, I would love to watch that. I feel like Cejudo might be a little too small for him, but Cejudo has proven me wrong plenty of times in the past. So hopefully we get to see that fight, because I think that's the only real move for Volkanovski at this point.
Yeah, and the interesting there is, though, he could go the other way, and he could go up to 155 and challenge for the lightweight crown, because you look at it here and you go, well, now he's really cleaned out the 45s when you look at beating Max Holloway three times, right? So if we're talking about Henry Cejudo, who's talking about fighting everybody out there, you know, from 25 to 35 to 45, it doesn't, you know, that's what he does as the double champ or as the triple champ, as he likes to say, with the Olympic gold. We'll find out what he does, if he does come back to the sport, or if Volk decides to go north of the border to 155. That actually might intrigue me a little bit more. Let's get to this card here on First Strike First Look on a Tuesday. And I think one of the more interesting things that you can do out there when you're handicapping MMA is try to look at where you think the lines will move, so you can be anticipatory to try to find the best number. When you look at the main event here, as we talk on a Tuesday here at DraftKings, Rafael Dos Anjos right now is plus 170 against Rafael Fiziev at minus $2. So you got a Rafael against a Rafael, even though they spell the names the same here, in a potential five-round bout. What do you make of Fiziev right now as a $2 betting favorite against RDA?
My gut reaction is it's a lot. You know, RDA is a legend, probably a Hall of Famer, and he's been in the cage with everybody. He's beaten a lot of great, great fighters, champions, champion contenders. And Fiziev's, you know, beaten some good fighters, you know, but he's not sniffed a guy who's sniffed gold, you know?
No.
So I think that the line at this point is a little high. I mean, RDA is 37 years old, so it's really not many people are going to be rushing to the window to bet a guy whose physical prime was, you know, 5+ years ago. And, you know, a guy who's had some up and down performances, I guess you could call it, over the last, I don't know, five, six years since he won that belt. But, you know, he's got experience, and, you know, sometimes experience is meaningful and sometimes it's not. Like, look at Robbie Lawler versus Brian Barberina last week, right?
Right.
Lawler's got all the experience in the world and he was using it for a round and a half, but at the end of the day, the damage caught up and Barberina just turned it into a street fight. And, you know, the guy who took more damage went down first. And I could maybe see something like that happening here, because I know Fiziev is a action fighter. He'll push the pace. And like I said, he's got one loss in his career, and it was like a freak KO in 2019. So, you know, he looks for finishes, and it's just going to be really determined. It'll be determined by how Rafael Dos Anjos is doing physically, you know, not just like conditioning everything, but like if he still has a chin, if he still has the strength, if he still has the speed and all that stuff. So I feel like there will be money on Dos Anjos before the fight starts, but it could be, you know, a little bit tug of war back and forth, just because I feel like the name recognition's all with Dos Anjos. But if you look at the metrics, the age and all in the record, people are going to be attracted to Fiziev.
No question. Again, right now, the over is juiced heavily over 4.5 rounds in this non-title bout, but it is a main event at minus $1.55. If you think Fiziev or RDA could get an early stoppage in this one, you get plus money right now at under 4.5 rounds. Let's talk about the co-main a little bit very quickly here. When you look at Caio Borjalo is back in there against Armin Pedrosian here. What do you make of Caio in this spot? A relatively quick turnaround from his last victory, looked very impressive. And now he's over a $2 betting favorite against Pedrosian here. 215 against Pedrosian's plus 185 in the comeback. What do you make of this number so far on a Tuesday?
I think the number's high. I say it all the time. Yeah. But, you know, if we go back a few weeks to Sarukian versus Gamro, this kind of feels like that same type of fight again, where both guys have a ton of potential. Both guys are really good. We haven't seen either of them enough to really know what their full potential is. We can kind of project a little bit, but, you know, they both have one fight in the UFC and they both have, you know, a couple of contender series fights. So we don't know how good they are yet. And I know, you know, in lower organizations, Petrosian has like six of his seven wins are KOs. He's got the nuclear option. I just think that laying 210 when it's two guys with one loss each, both fairly young, both fairly new to the UFC. I just had, I reluctantly would lay the juice there. That's for sure.
Ooh. Okay.
I would be reluctant to lay the juice, I should
say. There we go. Okay, I got you.
Yeah, no, I would lean with the dog.
You're not going to lay it at 215. Yeah, exactly right. I'll talk with Britton Hess here on a Tuesday First Strike First Look. Before we get to Fridays, we're trying to anticipate maybe where we see some of these lines potentially find the value here earlier in the week. Very quickly, I know you're not a big fan normally of backing Jared Vanderaa here, but he's going to take on Chase Sherman in a battle of heavyweights. And right now, Jared's laying $1.80. Chase, we know, sometimes takes fights on short notices, feels like an opponent out there, plus $1.55 for Chase. Which heavyweight would you back here if you had to?
Well, you know that I mean, I love fading both of these guys. I think I bet against both of these guys in every single fight they've had in the last like 3 years. So you know where I stand on these guys. I think Jared Vanderaa actually has a little bit more to him, though. He's been fighting higher quality opponents. He's been losing, but the guys that he's been fighting have been a little bit better than who I've seen Sherman face. I mean, obviously, Sherman's last fight was against Alexander Romanov on a late, he filled in late on that one. So, yeah, that's the exception to his strength of schedule. But before that, it's like Jake Collier, Parker Porter, old man Andre Arlovsky, losing to all three of those guys. Obviously, Andre's a legend, but Parker Porter, not too impressive
to
me. Jake Collier, not too impressive to me. And Jared Vanderaa, he got submitted by Alexei Olenek, who's one of the greatest ever to do it in the division. He lost a very close split decision to Andrei Arlovsky, and he lost to Alexander Romanov, who's, he's a guy who's right raising up in the division. So I lean Jared Vanderaa here. I mean, Chase Sherman, this is his second UFC stint. He already ran out, he was already kind of ran off once because he just did not perform well enough to justify being on the roster. He came back to fill in a fight late during the COVID years or right before the COVID years. And, he got a win against Isaac Villanueva, who's also very not good at all. And then he's lost four in a row. I think that this is going to be Chase Sherman's swan song in the UFC.
Ooh. Could be the last time we see Chase in there if he can't get this win. I'll win against Jared Vanderaa. Very quickly, when you look at the rest of the card, and again, here on a Tuesday, you see the former Black Zillion. That's how far we go back with Michael Johnson. He's going to go up there against Jamie Mularkey. Could be a very interesting bout there. Cynthia Calvillo against Nina Nunes. You got Cast Iron Casey. She's back. Courtney is against Antonina Shevchenko. Of course, that's Valentina's sister. There are some names riddled up and down this fight card, Britton. On a Tuesday, which number and name attracts you the most?
Michael Johnson, 2-1. Mm-hmm. He's plus 200 versus Mularkey. Michael Johnson's 1-5 in his last, or 1-4 in his last five fights. But that last one was a KO against Alan Patrick. If Michael still has that durability to make it to the second round and to land the punishing shot that ends the fight, Jamie Mularkey is definitely a guy that can get KO'd. He's got five losses and three of those are via KO. I think, speed strength should be on the side of Michael Johnson. Michael Johnson's obviously older. He's been in more wars. He's a little bit taller, though, so Johnson should have the reach advantage. I think that, people are maybe rushing to bury Michael Johnson a little too soon. I think he's got a little bit more left in the tank.
Still a legend to me, and certainly for those out there, when you think of the how long Michael Johnson still be getting it done here in the UFC. So 2-1 underdog, the betting underdog on a Tuesday, maybe good value there. We'll see how that number moves before we get to First Strike on Friday. Britton, always appreciate the conversation, my friend. We'll talk again on Friday for First Strike.
All right, Dave, it's always fun. Thanks for having me on.
There he is, everybody. Britton Hess. Check him out. Check me out. Check out our whole cast and crew. Friday, First Strike on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
There's two kinds of people in the world. People who love Health Aid kombucha and people who have never tried it. The bubbly mix of probiotic tea and refreshing juice is delicious and good for your gut health. With great flavors to choose from that you can't help but love. If you've never tried it before, maybe try a bottle or can of passion fruit tangerine or ginger lemon. Your taste buds and your gut will thank you. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.
Health Aid Kombucha.
You don't have have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feeling Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.
With dozens of streaming services, box office films, and content to choose from, people are spending over 2.5 years of their lives searching for what to watch. But The Hollywood Reporter brings you THR Charts, one place for you, your family, and friends to find the most watched TV shows and movies every week. THR Charts is a guide to help you spend less time scrolling through platforms so that you can spend more time watching and binging the content everyone is talking about, all supported by data and trusted sources like Nielsen, Comscore, and Parrot Analytics. Check out THR Charts on HollywoodReporter.com.